Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the show. This is a special Thursday edition of the show. As you know, I do the show on Tuesday nights from 6 to 8, but we had technical issues last Tuesday, so I wanted to finish up. So this is going to be a show of clips. When we got toward the end of the show, there were two more clips left, but for some reason, we had issues and we were taken off the air. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to play our commercial, and then I'm going to go straight to the clips because I'm not sure how much time I have. I'm only slated for about an hour. But I wanted to do these clips because these clips were pretty important, talking about the subject of what makes a father. So this is going to be a clip show. You may hear my voice every now and again, but this is really just to finish up from last Tuesday. Because there were some points that needed to be made. But like I said, you can go back in the archives and listen to that show and then pick up on this show, and they'll tie together. But this is our my shout-out to all the fathers out there. I'm a father also, so I just wanted to give a shout-out to all the fathers out there doing their job. You know who you are, and just want to say thanks. So I'm going to play our commercial, then I'm going to jump into clips, and hope you enjoy this. I know it's kind of short notice, but just wanted to finish up because I'm not the type of person that starts something and then don't finish it. So here we go.
Dr. James Jones III is a graduate of The Ohio State University. He has earned graduate degrees in African American Studies and History. Dr. Jones has produced the following books: Creating Revolution as They Advance, A Narrative History of the Black Panther Party for Self-Defense. These writings examine the historical context that facilitated the demise of the civil rights movement's patience and the ascension of a much bolder and less patient mid-60s black power politics. Manhood, Race, and Culture, Volumes 1 and 2, contains 66 essays that cover national events that occurred within the African-American community. Oh, Bruni, An African-American Odyssey Home, is an ethnographic study that follows an African-American to Africa, his ancestral homeland. Foolish Floyd, The Life and Times of an African-American, follows an individual who emanates from a rich tradition of contrarians. You can purchase the writings of Dr. Jones at Amazon.com, also available on Kindle. Dr. Jones is also our network resident doctor and can be heard every Wednesday from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern on the Initiative Radio Network. Please visit his website at manhoodraceandculture.com.
Welcome to Ask a Black Man, where we get real answers from real men. This is the fatherhood episode, where the men share their co-parenting struggles and their personal highs and lows of being a black father. Let's meet the men.
That's a societal thing that we're being painted as deadbeat dads.
You don't have the best relationship with your dad. Try and work that out.
We don't take the time out to understand who we are.
Women can appreciate the good man when he sees it.
As soon as they drop that message like, oh, I'm pregnant, you be like,
The child exposes different levels of how broken you really are.
My father's more like the person who is just biologically. That dad is more endearing. Dad is who's been there every day. Dad is, you know, who's taking care of the household responsibility. Mm-hmm. To me, that's dad.
Yeah.
But I guess it's just
how
you look at
get
it.
Caught up on,
yeah, as long as you know the difference of it, yeah.
No, I think we all understand, like, there's, like, a difference.
There's a difference between,
like,
yeah.
Knock your mom up.
Exactly. Who is there? Exactly.
Baby daddy. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's probably how we should do it.
Yeah.
The baby in front of the dad is like, that's the guy we're talking about.
Yeah.
That, we know the person that's, you know, there every day.
Who's there,
like,
yeah. Who deserves
that
claim.
Work,
yeah.
It's just like, sometimes you got to body slam these kids. What?
Yeah.
You know, body slam, good word. But yeah, so we know the difference.
Yeah.
There's definitely
a distinct difference.
Distinction.
I feel like it really depends on their personal experience and how it either makes them angry or appreciative.
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly. Because I have friends and their kids' dads weren't in their life. So they can be bitter, but then they see me or even other closer friends like, okay, you know, you're taking care of your child. You're doing what you have to do. So now I see what the potential in their dad can really be. So I'm not going to, okay, I made one mistake with, you know, my kid's father. My next child, I know what I'm looking for in a certain type of man. How to take care of my son or my child and do what it is. So I think women can appreciate the good man when they see it, but unfortunately, sometimes for some women, it is after they had messed up with it.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
But to feed off what Carl said, to me, it gets into the idea of expectation. And I think a lot of women, I mean, and even from generally, you know, starting off from the initial meeting, have expectations of a man. Here's what a man is. And then even fatherhood, here's what a father is. And a lot of times when that expectation or the ideology of what that is not met, you might get the backlash of, well, he's not a good father. He could be doing everything he feels like he's supposed to be doing.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's not where her mind is with it, it's he's not really a great father. Or he can improve here and there. And I feel like it's more about...
That comes down to communication.
It's communication.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And that's what I think it is. But I think, like I said, it's communication. But we also all have internal expectations or ideologies of what we feel like someone should be. Even if it's right or wrong, we somewhat have that.
It's also like, it sounds like it's societal pressure.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you hear you're on TV and you're seeing, you know, all these images of what a father should be. Oh, you know, he drives you to school, makes you breakfast and packs your lunch and picks you up from school. So whenever the woman now sees, okay, you know, they're not really doing this, they're not really doing that, then he's not a great father. So I think the nomenclature that's associated with all of these things is what also brings down the definition and the feeling of what a father is for a father. So if the woman doesn't understand that, then she can't say, hey, you know, your dad is great. You know, make sure that you talk to him, make sure that you share, whatever the case may be.
No, it becomes like an actualization, you know?
It's yeah,
like,
no, but
as soon as they drop that message, like, oh, I'm pregnant, you be like,
okay, but
my text I got was like, oh, we need to talk. I was like,
yo, that's lying to get you in so much trouble. You was like, I need to talk. My phone don't work right now.
In my case, it wasn't my lady that was putting the pressure on me. It was her mom's, my mom, her dad, my dad. Yeah. It was all the family that just like, so what you gonna do?
Everybody pressures you.
Absolutely.
They're all going through divorces. Right. They're all miserable in marriage. Yep. You ever went to, like, the reason why I was put on the whole marriage thing, I went to church, we had our son there. Church I grew up in, they was like, yeah, so when you getting married? Now, the people that's pushing us to get married were all going through a divorce.
Ain't that crazy?
They push that on you. And I think that it's more of a, I don't think men really want to get married. I think at some point we'd be like, okay, I found a good person and I want to settle down and it's a good idea. But initially, it's always seemed like a woman that always like, so when are we going to do this? When are we going to do this?
At some point,
you're like, all right, I'll just do it.
But honestly, as a man, I always did want to get married.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted, it sounds corny, I wanted the wife, the kids, the white picket fence, great career, that stuff. So ideally, I think majority I would think.
But that's probably because that's what you saw, right?
Yeah. My parents, they get divorced, but they were married when probably 10 years maybe, I guess, whatever. Ideally, I do think you should be doing order, get married, then have kids. But if you do it the other way around, I'm not going to, just because I have a child with you, I might not marry you. Like, to me, I'm like, you should, a child.
That
should
be
a reason
to get
married. But marriage doesn't solve anything.
No.
Nor does children.
To play devil's advocate, like, why are you having kids with someone you can't see yourself marrying in the first place?
And I think that goes both ways. And I think it's a maturity concept. Like, certain people aren't mature enough to know what they want tomorrow, much less 5 years down the line, and you sleep with somebody that's really cool right now, but you can't stand when you're not around them. You know what I'm saying? Like, and I think marriage, people put the label of marriage out there. And I think marriage is a great thing. I think, you know, if you're in love and happy, get married.
Yeah.
But all, I also think at the same time, people think like, all right, so what you waiting for? So it's taking so long. So what's going on? So what you think about?
When
it's
going to
be official.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And then it's like you might get the outside pressure of the relationship, the friends that either are single and bitter or married.
Dumb heifers. We're all looking for a sense of love, either love that we got from our parents or love that we're missing from our parents. And we sometimes attach to somebody who's just as lost or damaged as us. And it's not really love. Either she's cute and you like her because she's cute and she makes you feel wanted, or he's cute and he makes her feel wanted. And we attach to that and we keep it there, and we wind up having kids out of that connection of what we thought love was. And a lot of times we have kids out of wedlock, being lost ourselves, having kids and then raising kids to be lost because we never had an opportunity to find ourselves.
Because a lot of people, they don't take that time to actually work on themselves, you know. We don't take the time out to understand who we are, what our true desires are. When I had my child, it was an accident. Like, I was getting over a relationship, and I walked out.
But you chose to be there in his life.
But I chose to be there because of what I saw.
Yeah.
I love my son. I want to be there. So I didn't necessarily have a son to be a dad. I always knew I wanted to be a father.
Yeah.
But I, in that year span time, I took time to get to know myself, to understand.
But the piggyback of what you said is that's one of the issues.
Exactly.
That we have kids without the intention of
raising them
together as a unit.
But
a lot of kids are unplanned.
Exactly. Like, it's brokenness. know what I'm saying? You broken, I'm broken. We're both kind of together.
Exactly.
Oh, crap, we
together,
got a kid.
Our brokenness, we'll put our pieces together, and it happens to work for now.
You know, and then we have this child, and it's like our brokenness is not going to raise a whole foundation that a child requires. If anything, the child exposes different levels of how broken you really are.
Mm-hmm. Well, what about the consciousness in that?
Yeah, exactly. Who wants to go into
if
it?
If I have a kid with somebody, or if I get somebody pregnant, where's that conversation? You know?
Yeah.
Like, what do you see out of this? Oh, well, you know, I just want to have a kid with you. Like, that's not really forward thinking. That's
exactly.
That's not somebody thinking 5, 6, 10 years, and definitely not in the best interest of the child.
I think that's a societal thing that we're being painted as deadbeat dads. The fact that the laws are now set up that if you're in the courtroom because she wants to take you, you're considered
a bad dad.
A number. You're not considered a father, what you do. You know, like, bad experience. I had that. I was sitting there, and I'm just saying to this woman, like, okay, this, you know, this is my ex-wife, the mother of my children. What do you mean I got to pay child support from the day that I was born? I put me through school. I put her through school. I got to pay child support from the day my children were born, and they still live in my house, but she wanted to be, I wouldn't say vindictive in a way because I don't want to paint in a bad light, but for whatever reason, she did it. And I had to sit there and look at the judge and just say, that makes absolutely no sense.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
But to feed off what you said to me, the word and concept of deadbeat, that's a discussion.
Right. Yeah.
That's something that people have an emotional context to. They throw around like it's light and like there's nothing behind it. When yet, you could have someone that doesn't know you at all but knows her and say, he a deadbeat. Mm-hmm. But yet someone who knows you directly, and they could have just seen you do something with your child. They'd be like, he's not a deadbeat at all. You know what I'm saying? I just saw him with a child. What are you talking
exactly.
about?
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
So you see what I'm saying? It's a societal concept that someone bitter created, stirred it up, and a bunch of other bitter people got together and created this concept of deadbeat. And to me, the truer problem is, like you said, back into the court system where this mentality of who you are and how you should be treated because you are now a biological father, it actually borderlines being a parolee.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? It's like, seriously, being a father in the court system and being a criminal are not that far apart in legal systems, how things are set up.
Yeah. Listen, if you're going to do it with somebody that you can actually envision yourself. And if it doesn't work out, it sucks. Yeah. But, like, at least be cool enough that it's just like, all right, I'm going to move on.
Man.
You're going to move on. Let's not hit the swords with each other when we move on.
So to sum it up, do it with somebody that you are willing to be miserable for the rest of your life.
Wow. Miserable.
So what? Simple.
What?
Right.
Wow.
That's
all I'm saying.
What? I think it's understanding what your daughter is to you before you can even really answer this question. You know, because like when I had my daughter, I saw everything in me in her. You know what I'm saying? And I was like, it's crazy how everything I find, like the strong parts, the delicate parts, all that is in an external being outside of me. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, now I'm more protective of her. You know what I'm saying? Now
absolutely.
I'm crazy in love with her. You know what I'm saying? Like this is my baby girl. So I think the man that I want my daughter to be with, he has to love her if he can, further than I can love her, which is almost impossible.
A lot of guys aren't being introspective and saying, okay,
and
the way I'm treating
fine.
These women out here, I'm dating this one, doing that one with this one, is that conducive to me being a good parent?
Absolutely.
A lot of people aren't. So I think I've definitely had to look at myself sometime, okay, well, would I want my daughter, if I had a daughter, would I want my daughter dating a man like me? And I came to the conclusion that, if I didn't, I would
absolutely.
Change it, but I would. The intentions that I have for myself and for my family, I would definitely want my daughter to marry a man like me. I definitely
absolutely.
Well, I have a daughter. She's 5, and she's way cooler than me. I would want her to date someone like me as a balance of her creativity and her brilliance versus, you know, my kind of standard, you know, like I'm stable. But I think that she would gravitate more so to somebody who has her same creative flair.
Mm-hmm.
So in that, I would recommend me, but
you
could consider
consider yourself a good man enough that if she married somebody, if she brought home someone like you with the intentions of you, you'll be okay with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you're talking about your values,
your core values, exactly.
What makes you a man.
It don't matter what state
you know,
you're living, exactly.
What you stand for, you know, those are the things I think that she's referring to. And I think that if you're confident in your values and if you respect yourself and if other people respect you, then I think that, you know, you should be able to say without a doubt,
without
absolutely.
Doubt. Yep.
Amen. She better date
she
me.
She better date somebody like me.
I've been married, and I was not marriage-minded until I was with a woman that made me think, oh, that's dope. The idea of having a woman, a partner on board, let's do that. But before then, I hadn't really seen it work, so I didn't have a context to say, I want that one day. All I saw was divorce. I was like, I don't want that one day.
For more dialogue on fatherhood, subscribe to Madam.
Peace, family. Today, we want to talk about a sensitive subject. We want to talk about the demonization of black fathers. It appears that in American society and in Western society in general, it is the aim of the media, it is the aim of society in general to demonize black fathers and lionize black mothers. Now, we don't want to cause no confusion today, so I'm not trying to create a dynamic where it's black women against black men. I believe that we live in a time period that calls for unprecedented unity between black men and black women, black mothers and black fathers. But we have to point out what we see when we see it in order for us to correct some of what it is that's right in front of our face. And the demonization of black fathers has been such a glaring dynamic in our community that we can no longer ignore it. Now, the CDC, the Center for Disease Control, and for those of you who don't know what that is, that's white folks, they came out with a study about 2 years ago that stated, of all the white fathers in America, all the Asian fathers in America, and of all the Latino fathers in America, it is black fathers who have the habit or the history of spending more time with their children on a daily basis. Now, this is a positive statistic about black fatherhood, but unfortunately, we never hear about that one. What we hear is that the black community is absent black fathers and that 70% of the homes in the black community are headed by women. Now, we really don't know how true or untrue those statistics are because we do know that the media uses so-called statistics for propaganda purposes. So sometimes the statistics that we hear are not even true. They're lies. But, well, Derek, prove to me what you're saying about the demonization of black fathers. Well, I got a couple examples, all right? I want to take a look at some of your favorite celebrities. And nobody is loved as a celebrity like Beyonce. Our sister Beyonce knows has what they call the beehive. And the beehive is alive worldwide. But now I'm from Houston, Texas. Beyonce is from Houston, Texas, from Third Ward to be exact. I know the neighborhood that she grew up in. I remember when Destiny's Child was a local group and all they did was community events. Every community event you went to, I don't care if it was a health fair, I don't care if a congressperson was hosting a banquet, it could be a birthday party. You saw Destiny's Child and Beyonce performing. That is how she honed her skill and mastered her craft as an entertainer. Now, question. Who was it that trained Beyonce, that guided her career, that was holding her hand and making certain that she showed up at all of these events? It was her father, a brother by the name of Matthew Knowles. Matthew Knowles, from what I understand, is a good guy. I've met him several times. We're not friends or anything, but I know him personally. We've worked with him on community issues, so on and so forth. Now, when you hear the name Matthew Knowles, very seldom does society give him the credit that he deserves for investing in his daughter's career. When you hear the name Matthew Knowles, or you Google him, 9 times out of 10 something will come up about his personal life. They're talking about how many children he had out of wedlock. Really things that are not even anybody's business. But they would rather give the credit to Beyonce's mother and not her father. This is one of the tactics that they use to demonize black fathers. So you think that that's just an isolated incident? Let me take you a little bit further into it. Let's talk about the greatest entertainer who ever lived. You already know who I'm talking about, the great Michael Jackson. Now, Michael Jackson was beyond amazing. Michael Jackson was considered the eighth wonder of the world. Most of your entertainers wouldn't even be who they are today were it not for Michael Jackson. They wouldn't sing like they sing. They wouldn't dance like they dance. They wouldn't produce the way they produce. Michael Jackson changed the game. Who was it that was the driving force behind Michael Jackson's career? Come on, talk to me. Now, Katherine Jackson, who was the matriarch of the Jackson family, deserves all of the credit that she is due. So does Tina Knowles, Beyonce's mom. She deserves all the credit that she's due. But let's just be real. It was Joe Jackson, who was a former boxer, if I'm not mistaken, who understood the discipline that it takes in order for you to master any kind of craft. He ran his household like it was a boot camp, from what I understand. And though we may have disagreed with his methods, we cannot argue with the results. The man produced an entertainment dynasty. And out of that dynasty came the greatest entertainer that ever lived. But when we talk about Joseph Jackson, what do we say? Is Joe Jackson's fault that Michael didn't have a childhood? Well, let's say that that's true. And I think Michael Jackson had a long childhood. I mean, the man lived at Neverland Ranch all the way up into his 30s, 40s, and 50s. And I don't know what happened in that household. And I'm not trying to make a judgment on that. All I'm saying is, can we give the man credit for what it is that he did do versus always talking about what he didn't do? Demonization of the black father. Okay, you think that's an isolated incident? Let's talk about Venus and Serena. Their father, man by the name of Richard Williams, a brother who I've had the honor of meeting and knowing, good brother, good man, very outspoken, loves his people, loves his community, and he just don't take no crap from nobody. Now, these girls were raised in Compton, California. I'm going to say that again. They were raised in Compton. And this man, this black man, protected his daughters from the Compton streets. He knew nothing about tennis. This man went and he got VHS tapes. And he watched them over and over and over again. And he used them as instructional tools for how you teach somebody how to play tennis. He taught them the discipline that they have right now. They say this man used to look like a homeless man walking down the Compton streets with a basket filled with tennis balls. And this is what he felt he had to do in order to give his daughters a leg up in the tennis game. What do we have right now? You've got two beautiful, powerful sisters who not only changed the game of tennis, but they changed the game of women's sports. But when the media talks about Richard Williams, they don't give him credit for what he did to produce these beautiful daughters. What they do is talk about his personal life, which is none of their business. Demonization of the black father. I give you one more example, just in case you think that's an isolated event. Let's look at TBE, the man that they call the best ever. See, the man who stepped inside of that squared circle called a boxing ring and dominated 49 opponents. Nobody has ever beat Floyd Mayweather in a fair fight or unfair fight for that matter. Let's take a look at Floyd. Floyd grew up in Michigan, I think it was. He was poor. He had a harsh childhood. His father went to prison at an early age for allegedly selling drugs. Now Floyd's father was a championship fighter. His uncle was also a fighter. Both uncles. So he comes from a fighting family. So they say when Floyd Mayweather was 2 years old, his daddy had him in the gym. Hitting the bag, the heavy bag. Then he had him in there on the speed bag. And they talked about how hard he was on his son. He made him get out there and run even when his son didn't want to run. And so even the family members used to complain that Floyd didn't have no childhood because his daddy was too hard on him. But look at the man now. This man is a master craftsman when he laces up those leather gloves. Nobody can be Floyd Mayweather. But when they talk about his father, they rather talk about the stint that his dad did in prison or the personal issues that he and his father have had. But nobody wants to give the man credit for creating a genius in the boxing ring. Floyd Mayweather would not be who he is today were it not for his father. Demonization of the black father. So what they would rather do is demonize the father and lionize the mother, because they know the natural order of things says that the man is the head of the community and the head of the household. And when you remove the head, the rest of the family is fair game. This is a propaganda tool that they've been using for years, brothers and sisters, and we got to wake up. So what are you saying, Derek? I'm saying that we have to be careful how we look at one another. See, I've given you examples of celebrities, but you got to realize that this is just a microcosm of a macrocosm. This is something that happens every single day in your family and in my family. So on every Father's Day, I call it so-called Father's Day because it's a shame that in Western society they have to commercialize everything that is of virtue and value. Like motherhood is very, very valuable. Let's make a day out of it and try to find a way to make some money off of it. Same with fatherhood. Beautiful concept, beautiful principle, the principle of fatherhood. Let's find a way to make some money off of it. So here in the city of Houston, every Father's Day, we host what's called a Day of Encouragement for Black Fathers. And we want to challenge other cities. If you recognize that there is a plan to demonize black fathers, if black fathers are to be encouraged and lifted up, we can't wait for the media to do it. We need to do it ourselves. So this Father's Day, you should consider hosting in your community, in your city, a day of encouragement where you just rent out the park and you just create little activities so that if there is a father who doesn't have the money to do anything with his child, just go get your baby and bring your baby to the park. We'll make sure that there's something to eat. You can go and there'll be a basketball tournament, a football tournament. It doesn't take a lot of money. All it takes is our unity. So let's start a movement to encourage black fathers. That means if you know a black father who is not taking care of his child financially, you can beat him over the head if you want to, but that ain't gonna do no good. Encourage him. If you know a black father who is not doing what he should do, sit down and talk to him and try to figure out why and see if there's a way that you can help. Now, I'm not trying to say that we should coddle or cuddle men who don't stand up to their responsibility when it comes to fatherhood. All I'm saying is that if the world that we're living in is not going to encourage them, we have to find a way to do it ourselves. So the demonization of black fathers is real. And you might think that it's isolated and it's happening in somebody else's life, but 9 times out of 10 it's happening right around you. Let's do a better job at encouraging one another, and let's do a better job at taking care of our children and being great fathers.
All right, how about this photo? And it's a little photo that's generated all kinds of chat on Facebook, Twitter, so on, so forth. There it is. It's a dad. He's trying to get 2-year-old's hair ready to go. He has 6-month-old up against his chest. That's a great shot of someone just being a dad. Yet he's taking all kinds of crap for this. I want to know why. We've got a panel to talk about it coming up. Welcome back to HLN News Now. Again, you're going to see this picture, and to me anyway, I'm like, what am I missing here? It's a dad. He's taking care of his 2 little girls, these cute little girls. He posts it, and the whole genesis of this is that his wife, who has to go to work, is questioning whether or not he can hold everybody together. Can he get his two-year-old ready? You can see him working on her hair. His name's Dwayne Richards, and he has his own website. It's called daddydoingwork.com. So there's the photo he posted. And then at the end of the day, nice ponytail, and little six-month-old, I think, falls asleep on his chest. And I think he somehow communicates with his wife. Boom, got it done. And I think we should all be cheering this. But instead, what are we finding out? That this guy is taking all kinds of junk for this photo for being what we'd think would be a good dad. What am I missing here as we take a look at some of the comments? And here's a few of them. I would bet anything that you're a deadbeat. And so do you do this for all of your illegitimate kids? That's the kind of crap that came his way. Here's what Dwayne told our own Vinnie Politan just last week. Let's give it a listen.
I'm just doing what millions of good dads do. So I'm super uncomfortable with like the super dad thing. If a woman did this, this would not be news, right? But the fact that I'm a guy and I do that, that just shows that we really need to change the narrative on what fatherhood's about.
Again, and I like that as well. A lot of dads are doing this. He doesn't want to be dubbed a super dad, but he also wants to cheer other dads, I think, to do the same thing. This story's generated so much chatter that we decided to take it a step further. Find out why. What am I missing? What are we missing that this would generate controversy? So we've assembled a great panel with us, and I'd like to introduce our panel. Bryant Marks is with us, Executive Director at the Morehouse Research Institute on the African American Male. My Brown Baby blogger, Denise Miller, is with us as well. And we welcome back Aldwan Tardy, psychologist, relationship expert, and father of a 7-year-old girl. Welcome, everybody. Denise, I'll start with you. What do you make of this? Why is that photo, which is a good one in most of our books, creating so much controversy?
It's typical because the narrative of black fathers is stereotypical to begin with. What you have constantly is the statistics that black fathers are not in homes. Black families are headed mostly by black women, and the fathers are not present. And so when you have this narrative of a black man taking care of his two children, it sort of goes against everything that we hear in the media, in the newspapers, in the magazines, and you don't know how to make hay of it. But the fact of the matter is that this is not new to anyone who has a black father. My dad put a jerry curl in my hair when I was 12. Like, he was the one who was responsible for my hair when my mom couldn't do it. And we have pictures of that. So seeing him do that was not new to people who do have black fathers who are involved.
Brian, weigh in. What do you make of this?
And just to piggyback on that, I think there's a certain distance between what you see and what you expect to see, mm-hmm. right? So as a psychologist, anytime we see a human being, we process gender and race immediately. And as soon as we process that, whatever associations we have with black, white, Hispanic, Asian, or male or female become more readily accessible. So we're looking at this image, and if it's inconsistent with what we think we should see, it causes some dissonance, some discomfort, where we have to explain it away. So one way to explain it away is to say, oh, it's not a real image, right? The rental kids, the comments that you might have
right.
seen. Oh, he's not a real dad, he rented his kids. The other notion is to treat him as an exception. Well, yeah, he's doing that, but he's the exception, right? Some of what folks may think of as the sort of Bill Cosby or Oprah Winfrey phenomenon. They're black, but they're a different type of black person.
Hmm.
And the other one is to actually change your mind. And that's where the growth can happen. So when you have this dissonance, you can change your attitude and possibly say, well, looking at this image, I thought about it one way, but now maybe, you know, African-American fathers are responsible dads. So those are some possibilities.
Yeah. Aldwan?
I think it shows two things. One, African-American men, we have a branding problem. What you see is what you'll be, and there's not enough positive images of black men taking care of their children out there. That's the reality, but if it's not seen, it's questioned. And I think the second thing is, when we start talking about manhood, you know, it's manly to take care of your children.
Yes,
it's
it
not
is.
About just bringing home the bacon. It's not about just working all the time, providing finances. Being there to shape your daughter into who she's supposed to be, who God created her to be, is fatherhood, and that's why I celebrate him.
I know it.
I don't know about two babies at the same time. I have to give it up. I can do one. I can do one, but
maybe he's not a super dad, but he's doing yeoman's work there. Let's say that. Well, here's the statistic that you were talking about. So 2011 U.S. Census Bureau statistic, 2 in 3, at 64% of African-American children live in father-absent homes.
Right.
That's a quote
but
there.
Then,
so with that said, what do we do with that statistic linked up with that picture, Denise?
We juxtapose that with a statistic that came out just over the holidays about how fathers, black fathers in particular, are more likely to be more involved with their children than other races and cultures. Whether they live in the house with the children or not, they're very involved with their children. And I think what you're saying about the branding issue is huge. And it's not just other races that look at us that way. Sometimes we're the worst judgers of black fathers. Think about what happens on Father's Day when you know, there are cards in the Hallmark that speak specifically to congratulating mothers on Father's Day. No, my dad deserves to be celebrated, but you will find again and again during this holiday, black women, single black women, single black moms saying, you know, he's not there and I'm not going to celebrate on Father's Day. Well, that's us. Mm-hmm. We need to be better about putting those images out there.
By the way, just letting everybody know that some of the Twitter comments, both pro and con, we're going to scroll those through. Just to let you know, just give you a flavor of what went on. Aldwan, you want to jump in? Go ahead.
Yeah, I think also what doesn't show is how much mentoring goes on in the African-American community. You know, at Morehouse College, 100 Black Men, these are organizations that mentor thousands and thousands of youth. So you start talking about not having an it might not be your father, but there are men out there that are mentoring 12 to 15 to 20 kids per year as part of these programs, so that they see positive images of black men and what it means to be an African-American dad and a man.
Hey, Brian, real quick on that. So with the picture, as he said, he's not a super dad for doing that.
Absolutely.
But how do we get the message, whether you're black or white, you're just a dad, that, hey, that's what we should all be doing as dads. You know, I mean, that's just loving on our kids and making an impact that will last longer than anything we can do in the workplace or anywhere else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, part of it is gender, and then it's complicated by race. So, for example, if the dad were white, but it still might have hit struck folks as odd that a man is doing his daughter's hair, regardless of race. So there's just a gender role component there. And then for the African-American male, the stereotypes on top of that make it even more unlikely to some viewers that are out there. So in terms of I think the branding piece is key. I think there are roughly 5 million black males, men, who are married, right, who have children who are involved. That's census data as well. So there are millions of black men, to the point of the author, that are doing what they're supposed to do. And we don't necessarily want a lot of credit. I have 2 daughters. I have a 6-year-old. I'm highly engaged and try to be fun and do things with her. And I don't expect a pat on the back. That's what I'm supposed to do.
All right. Well, guys, we wish we had more time. Deneen, Brian, Aldwan, great stuff. And, again, you get to see the comments there at the bottom of the screen just to let you know what we're talking about here. A great photo turns to controversy.
From a genetic standpoint, the man, the alpha male, look, let's reduce this to what we are, animals. If we were a herd of animals, you wouldn't, the question wouldn't be put to the alpha lion male, why are you an alpha male? Why can't you just be somewhat in between, you know, and be a little conciliatory and be sort of a new age lion? No, I'm old school. Wrong me, I'm gonna be the eraser to correct it. Hurt me, I'm gonna hurt yours. Don't accept the education that I'm trying to give mine. Hold them back the way you tried to hold me back. Be irresponsible. Then how can I be confused and in a quandary about why my son is in jail, or why my son or my daughter are on drugs, or why they've decided to get a sex change operation? I should have kept abreast of that. I should have been responsible enough, Dad, to make sure that whatever's going in his body, I'm aware of it. If he's depressed, I need to know aware of it. If somebody's taking advantage of one of my children, male or female, I need to be aware of that situation. If someone in society is violating their constitutional rights in any way, shape, form, or fashion, I need to be responsible enough to teach my children, the children I brought to the planet. First, I got to be responsible in the 3 critical, vital essentials: food, clothing, and shelter. I can't stand these youngsters going around, I got 3 babies. No, you don't. Your woman or women had 3 babies. Are you there feeding them? Are you preparing the formula? Are you changing the diapers? Are you loving them and protecting them from this madness that's out here? His children, biggest confirmation that he's on the right track, look at his children. As the tree is bent, as the twig is bent, so shall grow the tree. Okay? As I said, I'm not raising myself up. When my son was in the New Jersey school system for a moment, when I had custody of both my children, one of the diagnoses that came back when he was at a school up in Madison, a grade school, your son is extremely slow. We suggest him go to a trade school. He'll never be able to master the intricacies of filmmaking or anything else that requires focus and whatever. He's just not bright enough. KC has a master's in live action film from Cal Arts, nominated for a Grammy for Best Direction of a Country Music Video. I got a copy of his nomination, his degree, his master's from the school Disney founded, and I sent it back to the New Jersey school system. You know, the same teacher that had analyzed him and assessed him and all the rest of that. It wasn't too long after that that a state investigation was launched into how many children has this been happening to, and why are they all ethnic and minority children? It's the same game that's played on me. I remember the teacher that did it to me when I was at East Orange High School, Mr. Palmer, who looked like an exhumed cadaver. And he, Mr. Palmer, would say, John Amos, you're nothing but a football player. You're a big dummy. You need to go to Bloomfield Tech and learn how to be a bricklayer. I said, well, maybe next year. This year, I'm staying at EO. And he would be like Dracula when somebody came around with a crucifix. He'd get very upset. Why? Because my mother had told me, Annabelle Amos from Birmingham, Alabama, 4'11", every day, you're a champion. You're a champion. You can do anything you want to do. Had my first child, my daughter, Shannon, and tried to be there for her. I'd easily say that's the most responsible thing I've ever done was my first child. Yeah.
Let's talk about the facts. 64% of black children don't live with their fathers. There's one out of every two don't live with their fathers. Now, they might have at some point. They might later. But at some point in their life, they will not live with their fathers. That's a significant issue. But as a therapist, you have to withhold judgment until you know the reasons why. Because guess what? Some non-custodial parents are impossible to live with. Some sisters can't tolerate that father. Some fathers can't tolerate that sister. And if you put two people in a house who absolutely don't want to be there, domestic violence is likely to follow. And so now you got your children in a home, but it ain't a happy one. And your daughter is watching this back and forth friction. And your son is watching this back and forth friction, which does what? Sow the seed in their mind that it's okay to be disagreeable with your mate. Or maybe you arguing with their father, you arguing with their mother may have pissed them off so much that they decide to never get married at all. Or maybe daddy mistreated mommy so much that I'm not even going to spend my life with a man. I'd rather spend it with a woman. Oh, yes, I specialize in homosexual therapy for our teenage people. Okay? Yeah, you'd be surprised the stories I get for why they became that way. I can always tell you what it was. If it's a girl, she's a lesbian, guess what? She was either sexually abused, physically abused, verbally abused. She was stripped of her father. She was raised to believe that black men were nothing. Okay? She was bullied by boys and told she was ugly her whole life. I always know what it is. Same thing with the boys. Father wasn't there. The mother psychologically castrated them. What do I mean by that, mother? Because you know y'all tongue can cut. Watch what you say to your son. Y'all be on the street. Oh, you ain't going to be no good. You're going to be just like your father. I wish I never had you. You don't ever say that to a child. Because if you keep on telling him he's nothing, sooner or later, he might just decide to make you a believer. Yeah. That's right. This is when they give up on trying to prove to you that they can be somebody because you never believed they could. But psychologically speaking, what do we know? Many of us beat up on our children because we don't think much of ourselves. Did y'all hear that? There's a direct relationship between child abuse and low self-esteem of the parent. That is a replica of you. And because you don't like you, how the hell are you going to like your offspring? Ah, shit! In America, Mothers are more likely to prevent interaction between father and child for personal reasons rather than factors relevant to child development. This ain't just black women either. Ladies, the child came through you, but it don't belong to you. Not from an African frame of reference. Study your culture. If you want to go back to Egypt, at least study how the families were viewed, okay? The child comes through you, but it belongs to the community. You have to get rid of this consciousness that says, that's my child. I carried her. I carried him. They look just like me, not you. It don't matter if you spit them out. That's still their daddy. It takes two to make that child, not one. And guess what? If you try to do it by yourself, you're going to make a mistake because God did not design humanity to be raised in a house of one parent. See, you need 50% feminine energy and you need 50% masculine energy. That's the balance. All of us are half male, half female, but one dominates or should. Okay? Stop laughing! So if your daughter don't get validated by her father, she'll spend the rest of her life looking for validation. Now, you teach her how to be a lady, but he must validate her womanhood. Don't you ever forget that. If your son is always up under your skirt and never get that masculine structure, he might start wanting to wear one. And if the biological father's not around, uncle, grandpa, brother in the community, make sure you see their child abuse record. Make sure you go on Megan's Law, because we got pedophiles in our community. That's right. But the thing about pedophilia that's so sad, which is related to this, because when fathers are not there, the risk of all that go up. See, when a man know that another man ain't having it with his, I don't care how pathological he is. He might have every label in this motherfucker. But if he know you ain't having it, he will fix himself. Oh, I'm usually sick, but not with this child. I'm healthy as a mother. The fact, black fathers are less likely to disclose the pain surrounding their absence from their children's lives, which can lead to misperceptions about their commitment. I deal with this all the time. The black man's hard exterior, we don't like to let people know we hurt. I can't see my children, but I can't let nobody else know that. So to the world, it looks like what? He don't care. But when Dr. Umar gets him in the office and we start talking, he got to muster all the spiritual energy in his body not to let that tear flow. Because it hurts us. And we got to talk about it. And fellas, we got to do what? We got to start developing some support groups for black men where we come together and talk about what it is to be a black man. I didn't say your Moorish philosophy. I didn't say my Pan-Africanism. I didn't say your Hebrewism, your Quran, or your Bible. I didn't say whether you're Democrat or Republican or no party, we ain't going to talk about that. We're going to talk about nothing else than what life is like on a day-to-day basis. Are y'all following me? Yeah. And sisters, y'all got to do the same thing. Y'all need sister circles. Y'all can rotate houses. This is going to be at my house tonight. Next Friday, this is going to be at her house. The third Friday, and we're going to come together. Make sure you have somebody frisk them down for weapons. Some of us crazy, right? And y'all want to talk about not religion and how you meet Christ and you need to take your shahada or you need to read Mr. Garvey's philosophy. We ain't going to talk about that. You need to go natural. We ain't going to talk about that. We're going to talk about what it is and what we go through as a black woman. And do y'all have some advice for me? Because I'm trying to let my son be in his father's life, but he keeps disrespecting me. Do anybody in here have, well, my husband went to school with your baby dad. So maybe I can have him talk to him on a man-to-man, and maybe the four of us can come together and sit down. Well, I don't think you know. They were pretty cool. And the next thing you know, you can work the situation out because we use group power. We got to go back to group power. Don't get sick and tired of African individualism. That ain't us. That's white folks. Fathers, make sure that the custodial parent, the mom, the grandma, doesn't turn you into a police officer only for your children. Some of us are destroying the relationships with our children because we allow the custodial parent to only call on us for police reasons. Are y'all following me? He's hanging with gangs. He's sneaking girls in the house. He's not going to school. Teachers are, if you don't have a relationship with your son, you don't have grounds to discipline. Discipline must be done with love, or it's not discipline, it's abuse. And that goes for the ladies too. If you are non-custodial and that parent says, look, you need to come and get him because you're the mom and she's a girl, or you're the dad and he's a boy, you have to politely tell them, I need to get to that point. Me and my son just hooked back up. I cannot risk destroying this relationship so you can have law and order in your house. I'm not trying to be disrespectful, but if you never kept me out in the first place, we wouldn't be going through this. So I don't like what he's doing to you. Even if I do, I'm not going to tell him. I don't like what he's doing to you, but I got to build the relationship first. The worst thing I could do as a therapist is come in and go right to a child's problem. You never do that. Well, I saw him, you know, playing with his ding-ding at night. I sit down with her son. I'm not going to talk about that. That boy don't know me. Hey, why are you playing with your meat, son? Your mama said you was flocking a flogger. What's going on? I can't do that. I got to, how you like school? Do you got a relationship with your dad? What's your after-school program? Who your favorite basketball player? And then the parents is coming in and saying, excuse me, sir, we paying you, right? For the past four meetings, you've done nothing but talk about what my son liked to do. And then I got to explain to the parent that therapy or building a relationship with your child who you ain't seen in a while is like unpeeling an onion. You got to take it layer by layer. You don't go straight in or you'll mess the whole damn onion up. Okay? I got to peel. And when I think he's comfortable enough with me, then I slowly start touching the reason you asked me to meet with him in the first place. That's the same thing you do as a non-custodial parent. Remember, a good parent is a what? Benevolent dictator. A good parent is a benevolent dictator. What is a benevolent dictator? Someone who controls the outcome. But to the people they controlling, they not even aware of it. It's like the United States government and black people. Okay? Okay? So when you're dealing with your children, you got to be the same way. Your son say, Dad, I want to go over here and play basketball for high school, but that school got the worst murder rate in the neighborhood, but they are number one in the country, right? So you like, I need him over here. I got to find a way to kind of make him want to go there without me telling him he's going to go there. So I might take him to an open house. I might take him to a couple games. I might set it up for some of the players to come holler at my son. That's what a benevolent dictator does. You are a strategist. I don't want my daughter hanging with them girls no more. But I can't come out and tell her that. I got to find a way to make her like this group. You must become a benevolent dictator. Never steal from your children the ability to make decisions for themselves, because if you do, when they become adults, they'll be so anxious about making decisions that they'll never be able to. These are the people who use smoke cigarettes all the time, alcohol all the time. They drown out their worry because they grew up in homes where the father ruled with an iron fist, the mother ruled with an iron fist. All you're doing is messing those children up. It's like a girl who's 15 and naturally she's liking boys, and you telling her, I better not see you looking at them, touching them, talking to them, boom, boom. Then she's like, dang, what, you want to be gay? What's going on in this house? Okay? You can keep her from having sex, but you want to introduce her slowly to masculine energy so she'll know how to deal with it up in college when your ass ain't around no more. And she become the biggest buck wild at Morgan. Talking about, my baby got Jesus in her life. Yeah, and a few other people.
They say we sleep in the bed.
Okay, that was the last clip, and those are the ones that I wanted to get in from Tuesday. I got everything in, and I've only scheduled the show for 1 hour or so, and my time is almost up. So I just want to, again, shout out to all the dads, my dad, your dad, I'm a dad, you know, shout out to all the dads out there. Enjoy your Sunday. I ought to put a list up of presents that we don't want. We don't want drawers. We don't want socks. We don't want ties. You know, get us some good stuff. You know, pretend it's Mother's Day, but just for dads. You know, people all go out for or Mother's Day. You know, go all out for us too. So with that, I am out. I will see you at my regular time on Thursday night, 6 p.m. Peace out. Be good to each other.